Welcome to People Power and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our podcast, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
The primaries in New York is June the 25th, 2024, and the NAACP New York State Conference is making a concerted effort to get out the vote plan for targeted congressional districts. Joining us today is Mr. Leroy Godson, member of the New York State Executive Committee of the NAACP. Welcome, sir. Such a pleasure to have you here with us.
Good morning, and thank you for having us.
Great. So tell us about your experience with the NAACP.
I've been in the NAACP practically all of my life. I started as a youth in the southern states in South Carolina. And the NAACP was a go-to organization for advocating for civil rights. I remember as a youth when I could not even register, was not old enough to vote. We had 1 hour count. I was in Lee County, South Carolina. And the NAACP showed that unless you had a 65% black registered voting population, it was impossible to elect a person of color of your choice. And the NAACP advocated for that. We fought for that. And it's coming up. I remember you would take, that when everyone was counting ballots by hand, and I've seen where ballots from the predominantly black district all of a sudden got lost in a 6 mile travel radius. I know we're in the city, but when we say 6 mile, let's say about 10 blocks. You would have one of the white board of electors pick them up. You might have a hot black district with 1,000 votes when it left. When it got to the destination, because we counted all the county votes at the courthouse, then you might have had about 600 and something, which can affect an election tremendously with that many votes. And the NAACP stepped in, and they sued and went to federal court. And prior, before I go to law school, I knew about district courts and circuit court because the NAACP, as a youth, I'd watched them in action. I wanted to be a part of this, and I could not, was old enough to vote, but I would have signs. They would give me signs and say, basically, I can't vote, but you can vote for me. And when they counted votes, I would have to maybe bring them food. What would happen at night, all the district polling site closed, they would do the hand count at night, and you had that representative, NAACP was saying, just ordinary people, and they'd be up late at night counting the votes. And it always interests me because if you have a ballot just look like a smaller error from a predominantly black district, then our white colleagues would want to cast that ballot aside, and the NAACP members would say, no, we can't do that. That'll be like a challenge ballot. And they always stood up and finally went to court, and the court had ruled, and this was like, I'm talking about the late 80s, and they had to bring in the U.S. Marshals, NAACP. And what happened, they used shotguns, and they guarded the ballots from the courthouse to the jail cell, and you had a marshal inside the cell with a shotgun and a marshal outside to make sure that the ballots were not tampered with. And because we had elected a black person for the first time in the history of South Carolina in that particular district, Mr. Isaac C. Joe, God bless his memory. And nevertheless, so we have to have a recount in the morning.
Okay.
So I was youth and college division president in NAACP. I served at the state on the level. When I came to New York, I became a branch president, Jamaica branch. I also, on the national level, I was one of the first to get out the vote campaign for the region, the seven states in Region 2 up north. I've served on the National Voter Election Supervisory Committee, at legal redress chair. So I spent a lifetime in the NAACP and loved every minute of it and respected every minute of it.
Okay, great. So we are in Black History Month, February. Let's talk about the right to vote, the price that was paid to vote.
As we talk about this, like Black History Month, African American History Month, that's part of our history and part of America's history. If there's anybody who has a right to vote, it's people of color. Why? Because we paid a dear price for this. And that the most cherished part of a democracy is this thing called the right to vote. And it's a tragedy we don't exercise that right. The right of the people to decide who is going to govern them. Before this place was a country, you had people of color that fought and died for it. You can't talk about George Washington without talking about the Godfather when they had the black man who was a herbologist and this guy just talked to the ground. Because George Washington was a very sickly man. Everywhere he took this man of color who gave him herbs and stuff to keep him alive. In fact, everyone talking about how George Washington captured Cornwallis to win the Revolutionary War. He took his herb doctor with him. Also, there were some black boys who came across to Delaware before George Washington, and they captured up the horses for Washington Army to ride. Those guys, young Jocko Graves, those guys froze to death holding horses for George Washington and his army. There were guys of color who fought in Massachusetts. And moving on, every war in this country, black folks have distinguished themselves. And right now, unfortunately, we just lost three brave black young persons that were fighting for our country, and they came home in a body bag just last week. So we have a right, but, you know, a lot of black folks, even if people don't think it's important in this democracy, in fact, and I'm going back, America was founded under the Constitution, the institution, taxation without representation, that mm-hmm. led to the Tea Party. And the overthrow from Britain is that we want to be represented in government. And so this is something that we've always fought for, but this is always something that America has tried to stop, and that's where the NAACP has hung its hat on the greatest tool of equality is this thing called the right to vote. And so if you look at this, many black people and white people, too, have died willingly just so we would have the right to vote. We have people of all color, race, especially black and white, that have gone out, you know, all the Southern Crusades so we could have a right to vote. Every ballot held in a black hand is covered by blood. Nobody gave us this right. And I've always been curious, why is America so anti-black people and their right to vote? This will be a given of any democracy is that a citizen has a right to participate in their government, and the highest form of participation is registered and voting. Why is America so anti-us right to vote? Because they knew, as the NAACP know, this is a great equalizer in America.
This is so powerful what you just said. Every ballot in the hand is covered by blood.
Yes.
And our vote is our power, and we should exercise it.
Yes.
So the NAACP, as I mentioned before, is making this concerted effort, and one of the organizations that they're focusing on is the churches, because the churches in the black community has always had such a strong presence and influence. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Let's see. Now, our leader, President Dr. Hazel Dukes, have made it known, and she gave out the charge to us. We're going all out to try to register and get as many people of color to the polls as possible. Dr. Dukes has made that known to us and instilled that into us. We are going with the churches because tradition, as you just stated, the church have always stood for the rights of the black community. Before there was any of our organizations, the church were there. We have a history of black folks where churches were burned, pastors were killed and lynched because they stood up for the right, but they were willing to make that stand voluntarily, not knowing what the end were going to be. But yes, they took a stand. So we're going back to our roots and our relationship with the church. We're asking, as we move forward, we're asking our pastors, as part of African American history and part of our history, please, ma'am, please, sir, have a voter registration drive in your church. Please, because our pastors are so powerful in our communities, please advise your members. Now, I know, and I've been asked to do that, I'm coordinating this on behalf of the NAACP, Mr. Beckett at the Bronx. What we're asking pastors and churches to do, we know 80% of your members are registered to vote. We know that. We want you to tell your members, to tell their children, to tell their friends and relatives to vote. You know, and God has blessed me as a college professor, one of the saddest part of my job is to have to give out rewards for black young people to vote. You were in college because of the fact somebody died for you and fought for you to be here, mm-hmm. and now you come as a beneficiary of those sacrifices. You're not even registered to vote. And you'd be surprised how many young people take great pride in not being registered to vote. And so somebody in the household is not telling them, child, you have to vote. If you don't care about your circumstances in life, you owe it to the ground, those people that are dead, to register to vote. And we are seeing too many young people coming out of high school and not registered to vote because in our household we are not preaching and teaching that. We need our pastors and our churches to please, ma'am, please, sir, tell your members, make sure everybody in your household to vote. Make sure everybody come visit your household. Make sure they register to vote. And guess what? You have the influence. The church have the influence. The parents have the influence. And we can make a difference in this election.
Okay, so there are three congressional districts that the NAACP is targeting. They feel it's critical to help the Democratic Party regain the House and, of course, make Hakeem Jeffries Speaker.
Let me say this, not trying to correct you. We're not telling anybody who to vote for. We're not backing the Democratic Party, Republican Party. What we're saying, there are three congressional districts we want to make an impact on, because then we can have a say-so on who is going to control the House of Representatives. And those are people that make laws. We were legislative into slavery. We were legislative out of slavery. We want to have an impact. We want to be, and that's a term I use, an impact player. In those three particular congressional districts, the 3rd, the 16th, and the 17th, those are districts that can turn the House. Whoever runs the House, we want to have a say, so we want all our brothers and sisters. Now, Hakeem Jeffries came up the hard way. He's a great person. Now, we're not endorsing his candidate, but we know we like where he stands and where he has stood. We know he's true. And so we definitely want to see him in charge of running the House. And that's not an endorsement. That's not an endorsement. That is saying there's somebody that we know that he stands up for that which is right. And so, and if people feel that way, whoever they feel should run the House, you can't stay home with just your feelings. Mm-hmm. You must come out and register people around you. You must also come out and vote on Election Day. We want all our pastors, and our leaders, clergy leaders, we must get rid of the stigma of people incarcerated. You own a house or a car. When you pay something, it's yours. You paid your debt. And therefore, when a person go and do his or her time, they have paid their debt to society. A lot of our people in our society, they've paid their debt. They're the full meaning of citizenship of the right to vote. And the laws in New York State, a person that was convicted of a crime, once he or she is released, the day after, even though they might be on parole or if they don't go on probation, they can register to vote. But many of our people that go away, they are unaware of that. We need our churches. We need everybody. Let's normalize the issue. You've returned to citizenship. You have paid your dues to society. The best definition of citizenship is when you register to vote.
Okay, so there's been a continual attack on voting rights?
Yes. That one, we can't sleep on this. And, I love following Dr. Dukes, and she sees this as coming. If you think about it, from the 1965 Voters' Rights Act, here we were in America all these hundreds of years, and we finally had to get an act to make sure we protect our rights to vote. But 10 years ago, we saw with the Selma decision out of Georgia when the feds changed that, and they took away preclearance. And preclearance was, and here we're in a democratic country, we had certain laws on the book that you had areas that were historically involved with racial discrimination when it comes to the right to vote. Before they could change a district line or a voting line, jurisdiction line, they had to go to the federal court and get preclearance. The Selma decision 10 years ago went ahead and they wiped that out, so you don't need preclearance anymore. This would have protected black folks all these years and decades since the Civil Rights Act. Now we look, there's a decision coming out of the 8th Circuit, the Federal Circuit, Missouri, Arkansas, South Dakota, North Dakota. There are 7 states in that particular circuit. And they made a decision now, they're going after Section 2 of the Civil Rights Act. Preclearance was got away 10 years ago, was dealt away. Now they're going to Section 2.
What is Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act?
I'm glad you asked that question. Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act dealt with the fact that you could not have any kind of voting registration or voting issue that might harm or disenswade or disenfranchise people of color. It was written for us as black folks. What the 8th Circuit courts came out, 3 of them, and 2 decision majority ruled that now only a U.S. Attorney General can bring a case in federal court of a Section 2 violation. So it eliminates our advocacy. That means the NAACP, the church, the ACLU, those are all about the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, et cetera, the Jews. Those were our friends that always advocated and took these cases to court. People, you could bring one individual if you could show that any decision made by a board of election would deter, dissuade, or discriminate or disenfranchise black people. A circuit court from district to circuit had made a ruling now only a U.S. Attorney General can make that decision. Well, if this get passed the United States Supreme Court, then what happened is that the one individual could be appointed by a president, U.S. Attorney Generals, that might not like how we vote. And therefore, that one person, democracy now, a one person can decide, well, I don't think it could be discriminatory, so we're not going to bring this case back up. That is a very frightening. And how it affects us, we New York away, because if that's a federal decision there, it spreads across the land. We cannot have that. Also, what we have to understand, too, after Selby, there's been over 1,000 efforts across the nation to stop black people from voting. Across the nation, Texas went first. They went wild passing laws that's going to harm. You went down to Florida, and they passed a law that you could be locked up if you didn't turn to voter registration within a 2 weeks period. Well, that attacked our churches and our predominantly black and our black Greek letter organization. Because if you think about it, that's where our black registered voters come from, through the church and the black Greek letter organization. So when you pass a law and these people work every day, you know, they don't want to risk going to jail. So they might not be as equally persuaded now to go out and register people to vote if it runs risk of jail. They pass other laws about water, how much water you can give. You cannot give water. These groups will do this thing out their own pocket, at the goodness of their heart, and their commitment and passion for justice and equality. And now you're talking about incarcerating them. These laws were made to dissuade or prevent disenfranchised black folks from voting. We can't take this laying down. Also, too, we need people registered to vote because another issue is that we no longer have a friend in we used to go to the federal court, as I just said. We don't have a friend in federal court anymore. So right now, the most important friend we're going to have is our local and our state, state legislation that's going to help us. We know we should go to the feds for everything. We don't have friends in the feds anymore. If you look at our United States Supreme Court, out of 9, 6 are conservative, ultra-conservatives, and we know who appointed them. We can't go to the Supreme Court anymore. We need you to go to talk. We need to be registered people so we can go to our state elected officials and our city elected officials to say these are the needs of our people because the feds are not going to uphold our rights.
What are some of the plans that the NAACP has in place from now up until June, leading up to the elections?
Okay. Right now, for the next 30 days, we're asking all our churches to advertise and to part of the African-American history and women history, because we have a lot of great women that have done so much for the civil rights cause, have at least one voter registration drive. We want them to identify two persons in the church that, you know, we can help train to do this drive, that we can contact with. We want a mobilization. Come by the end of May, we want to move into not getting out the vote. We want to identify a place where we can put people that volunteers at to encourage people to come out and vote. And because the June primary is right around the corner. So between now and the next 45 days, we want voter registration. We ask for it to be talked about on a regular basis, not as an afterthought. Make that part, talk about it, push it up, and promote it. Because if they promote it, they'll popularize the notion. We want to make it popular to make sure that we have our people registered to vote. And secondly, the second part, that we're going to the polls on Election Day. We don't want anybody forgetting about it, sleeping on it, and we want to make sure that everybody's aware.
Okay, so, Mr. Godson, how can one get involved?
Okay. Well, first thing to get involved, and we will do the training. We want you, if you must, I want you to call, let's know our state office at 212, that's 344-7474. Just call the NAACP state office, 212-344-7474, 344-7474. Just call and say, guess what? I want to get involved. We will get you with literature. We will let you know when we're doing the training. Because registering people to vote is not as simple as people might think, and one can easily get discouraged. But the mere strike of registering people, once you put the notice up, you're doing the voter registration, it reminds people with a conscience voter registration is still a necessity. It also shows that you are part of the process. And we want you to do that and not get disturbed. We want to talk with you. Call our office and we will do all the training. We will get you the material, whatever material you need. If you want to get involved, just call our office and say, I want to be involved in the Get Out Vote strategy campaign. Just call our office. And if you want to go on our website, it is www.nysnaacp.org. I'm going to repeat that, www.nysnaacp.org.
Great.
And if you have any questions, well, you know, we sit back in grade school, no question is too small, nothing's a dumb question. Whatever you can do, and I'm a firm believer that 10% of anything is better than 100% of nothing. If all your listeners, all the many listeners, all of them get together and they just registered one person to vote, out of all of them together, that's one we had yesterday. So we want everybody, please do not count yourself out. Let's work together. We can do this. And we have to make America. We the one that created and built this country for free. We have free, and we have a right to vote. We want people to come out and get involved.
All right. So thank you so much, Mr. Leroy Gadsden, for being here and sharing this great information with us. And we look forward to having you back again.
Thank you for having us. Whenever you invite, this is what we need to educate our community. Please, we'd love to come back. Dr. Duke, send her regards, and Dr. Duke, send a word out to our community. There's a young lady been around for decades. She's still on the battlefield, and she's still fighting for our rights, and we have to join her. We can't let her fight by herself.
Thank you.
People Power in Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's people power in politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.